From team headquarters, this is the 49ers Studios Podcast.
Back with another 49ers Studios Podcast. I'm Joe Fan, joined by friend of the program, Bleacher Report's NFL Draft guru. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He is Matt Miller. Matt, tis the season, my man, and here we go. You can feel things starting to ramp up a little bit in draft season.
Yeah, this is the best time of year. We've got East-West Shrine going on, Senior Bowl coming up, Combine's right after that. So it's fun, and I think the end of the year gave Niner fans, well, I can say this with authority, as a Niner fan, so much to be excited about that now heading into an offseason where it feels like, okay, we just got to plug a couple holes and we're going to be very competitive next year. So I feel like there's a lot more excitement than there would have been had the season not ended the way it did.
You're right. And I think it's funny. You sit back and watch the playoffs and last weekend, I mean, really outside of that Titans-Pats game, three really good games. And you see the Jags beat the Steelers and go on and have a chance at, winning the AFC title. And you go back, the 49ers beat that team. They beat the Titans, who won a game, in the playoffs the week before. I mean, those weren't all for naught wins. Outside of week 17 against the Los Angeles Rams, there's lots to be impressed by, especially against the Jags team, who, at that point was still playing, for positional seeding.
I love it. And those are things that I like to say to my buddies when we're like sitting around having a beer, talking football, or like when we're recording the podcast and stuff. It's just like, one of my friends is a Falcons fan, and he was like, I'm tired of losing like this every year. And I was like, man, I even remember what it feels like to have my favorite team lose a game.
That's what I'm saying.
It's so exciting, man, to be like, and I know that doesn't always work. You can't always play the way we beat that team and they beat that team. But it's fun that we now have an off season to play like what if, and see next year, year two of Kyle Shanahan's offense. I think that's like a part that people are even forgetting to talk about is Jimmy G looked that good without a whole offseason working with Kyle, and now we get to see how Kyle's going to, change his offense. That was one of my favorite things about him as a head coaching prospect, I guess you would say, is that he's so innovative. It's not just like, okay, here's my system, we're going to run it, but we're going to see this offense continue to evolve, and the defense is going to take the next step, I truly believe, and it's a very – it's a very, very fun time to be a 49ers fan.
It's pretty wild when you really think about it. I mean, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones had trouble getting going in year one. It took Jimmy Garoppolo a month with Marquise Goodwin and George Kittle and Trent Taylor. It really isn't remarkable. And I keep banging the drum. Statistically speaking, the 49ers will never lose again as long as Jimmy Garoppolo is their quarterback.
I've seen your tweets, and I'm with you. Like, he's never lost a game as a starter. So, it's just fact. It's just a fact.
100%.
You need to start a @JimmyGFacts Twitter account, like the Blake Bortles one.
You're right. That's so good. I think I'll have to look into that. Matt, you just dropped your first two-round mock draft of this new wave of prospects that we're getting to know. And obviously, things a little bit unclear at the top of the draft, whether it's the 9th pick or the 10th pick, based on that coin flip that'll happen at the Combine with the Oakland Raiders. So you put him at 10. Doesn't really matter at this point, but it's still interesting to see who you put there. And you put Denzel Ward, a cornerback out of Ohio State. Obviously, we saw a certain corner named Marshon Lattimore really be the star. He was named the Pro Football Writers of America Defensive Rookie of the Year, excuse me. What do you like about Denzel Ward? A little bit undersized, isn't he?
A little. I think it will be interesting to see what he measures in at. I've had a lot of Niner fans tweet me and be like, he's too short for the system. He's 5'11". He's probably going to be about 195, but he does have long arms. I wouldn't scout at him live against Rutgers, and he's physical at the line of scrimmage. I do think people think about this defense and they think Richard Sherman, or Jalen Ramsey, and those guys are maybe prototypical. But I think toughness and technique of the line of scrimmage are very important. The key to Denzel Ward, the reason I think he can work, is his speed is incredibly underrated. I don't know if you get a good feel for it on TV. When watching him in person, though, I was blown away by his speed. And then you start talking to people at Ohio State. We have Marshon Lattimore on our podcast, and we talked a little bit off air about him. And he's like, he's faster than me. He's more athletic than I am. And so when you hear things like that, it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. And then you start watching more film. And I think Denzel Ward has a chance to be really, really special. So I know some people think that Josh Jackson of Iowa might be a better fit in terms of size, but I think Ward's instincts and speed can kind of help make up for some of that.
Okay, so it was for better or for worse, guys like Ward are going to be compared to past draft classes, especially at the position and the alma mater. So you have the good, Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, the great, let's be real. But you also have the bad, yeah. And let's be real, it was pretty awful so far, at least the early returns on Eli Apple. And so tell me where those went wrong, right? I mean, those guys were both projected to be top 15. Obviously, one worked out famously so far, one hasn't. Is that mental makeup? Did you miss something on Eli Apple that, you know, he had some traits or some red flags on the field that you didn't see on the tape that he's shown at the NFL level? I mean, what has, you know, hindered him from succeeding in the NFL?
Well, I think with Marshawn, the only reason he fell was because of the history of hamstring injuries, and people got a little scared, you know, of a guy who had been hurt a lot in college, really only played 1 year, but all the traits were special. And I think in hindsight, he would probably be a top five pick in the draft. You know, people would jump all over him. But, and I do know of one team that was picking up there in the top eight that liked him. It was just the way the board fell that they were able to get a different player. So I think with Marshawn, that's the only reason he fell. Now, Eli Apple, I had ranked at 35 overall in that class in 2016. And the Giants drafted him at, what, 9 or 10? So I wasn't a big fan of that value for him. And I'll never forget, I think it was one of those anonymous scout things that comes out every year. And it said about him that, you know, he has no life skills. He's immature. And that has proven to be the case. You know, he's fighting with Landon Collins, or he's, you know, dropping expletives in the locker room. And, you know, he's just immature. And you would hope that the new coaching staff, the new front office, they're able to rein him in and line him out a little bit, because on the field, there was a lot of talent there. There's a reason he was drafted in the first round. So I think with Apple right now, you could say, okay, well, it's 2 years in and he hasn't lived up to that pick. The Giants may have, you know, we're probably a year away from saying that was bust, but it's not a lack of talent. It's, I think, more lack of focus and maturity.
Gotcha. Okay, moving to the second round. Again, remember, the 49ers' second round pick has been traded to New England, which, again, another story that I think kind of blows my mind when you talk about the return of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. Initially, that looks like pick 33, 34. All of a sudden, it's pick 42, 43. So that's going to New England. The 49ers do have a second-round pick, courtesy of the Saints from that trade that netted them Alvin Kamara last year. It's pick 60. So 49ers didn't get any favors there, with the Saints doing so well, making it all the way to the divisional round. And you have a name here that I don't think I knew beforehand, and maybe some of our listeners don't as well. It's Mark Walton, a running back out of Miami. And we hear so much about how deep this running back class is, obviously with Saquon Barkley. You have Geis out of LSU. You've got Ronald Jones out of USC as some of the top names.
Yeah.
Who is Mark Walton?
Well, the last time the Niners drafted a back out of Miami, it worked out okay, right?
It Trent did Norris, okay.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty decent.
Mark Walton was hurt this year, went down in October with an ankle injury, so a lot of people don't know who he is. But I think he's a three-down back who would be a great fit in this offense. And maybe, you know, maybe as a rookie you're sharing snaps with Matt Breida, but Carlos Hyde's going to be a free agent. He's at that age where I think you worry about paying a running back, especially a guy who's had a considerable amount of injuries in his career. So I would go at pick 60. I think running back is a smart fit for them. Get someone who would operate well in the zone scheme. I think Walton could be a lot like a Devonta Freeman type back, especially for what Kyle does. And I'm a big believer of the kid. I think he has the tools to be a starter. I know that, like, people aren't going to love his numbers, but very, very good receiver out of the backfield. He's a little undersized, which is probably why he's going to last to this point. And like you mentioned, the depth at running back is so great this year. But, you know, we're probably going to see, you know, I think Walton's my sixth or seventh ranked running back. We're going to see a lot of those guys fly off the board at the top of the, you know, in the first round, at the top of the second round. So when you come back around to 60, I think that's a pretty good value for him.
So when we're talking about Mark Walton and a guy who's got limited tape, at least in recent memory, how big does that make the draft process for him? How big is the combine for him? How big is his pro day? How big is the meetings that he gets to have? And obviously that stuff real big for everybody, but when guys you feel like have been limited, you know, on the field in terms of what you can watch on tape, I mean, does that add to any of the pressure of what we're going to see in Indianapolis?
Yeah, it's enormous. It really is. And especially for a guy who's an underclassman. So we don't get to see him in Mobile, you know, so you can't say, oh, well, he's hurt this year. Let's check him out in Alabama and see how he looks and how he moves. Indy's huge, not only for the medical, you know, like the part that doesn't get put on TV, but just everything, you know, the, okay, how does he do in drills? And I think for running backs, especially in that offense, I'm going to be watching, fans are going to be watching, excuse me, to see how well a guy does catching the ball. That's such a huge part of the offense for running backs. You know, you want to see the change of direction drill that they do. I think that's really important for zone running backs. The three-cone drill, I think, is more important than the 40. And you go to Kareem Hunt, who ran a 4.6 and just led the NFL in rushing as a rookie because he's such a great scheme fit. And so that's what those are the things that you look for. It does put more pressure on a guy because you don't have as many opportunities to fail. Because you're hurt this year and see a limited film, you're an underclassman, you can't go to the Senior Bowl. So you really get two shots. You get the combine and your pro day. Instead of, you know, a lot of guys are starting with more momentum and they have a little bit more room to fail.
Yep. That was a perfect segue into the 2018 Reese's Senior Bowl taking place in Mobile, happening next week. Just give me the overview of this year's crop of prospects. Obviously, you've got the headliners in Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, quarterback out of Oklahoma. Those guys are going to steal the headlines. But as a whole, how do you feel like these prospects compare to the groups of years past?
Yeah, I think it's a really good group. And, you know, just because of the nature of the NFL, there aren't as many first-rounders as there used to be. You'll hear a lot of old-school scouts complain about that. You know, I have five kids with first-round grades going down. I think that's very good. I have 21 with a top two-round grade. So there's good depth there. Like you said, I mean, all eyes are going to be on the quarterbacks. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, even Mason Rudolph, a kid who's kind of being forgotten about because this quarterback class has so many headliners, but a guy who has a shot to be a day two pick, maybe even an early day two pick. So it should be a good group. You know, for the Niners, picking at 9 or 10, there's probably not a guy that's going to be down there that you consider at that spot. But, you know, we've been surprised before. Now, I don't think anybody was talking about Eric Fisher as the first overall pick when he went down a couple of years ago and made himself a lot of money. And, you know, Aaron Donald made himself quite a bit of money down there. I mean, there's always that guy that goes down and you know, answers questions and moves himself up the board.
Okay, well, who are those five before we get into – because I want to get five names the 49ers should be talking to, but you mentioned you have five first-rounders. So who are those off the – just rattle those off for me.
Yeah, so Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, the two you mentioned. Rashawn Evans, linebacker from Alabama, just a true Mike linebacker. Maurice Hurst, the defensive lineman from Michigan, and Harold Landry, the edge rusher from Boston College.
All right. I love it. Okay, give me five names that the 49ers fans should be keeping an eye on. Again, we're in the early stages. It's going to be a long haul to get to end of April and the draft in Dallas as we continue to get to know these guys. So who are five names that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have mocked to the 49ers, but who you'd say, that might be interesting in San Francisco. I'd like to see, you know, these guys being on the radar of the 49ers front office.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little deeper then, you know, because the Niners are picking at 9 or 10, and I just said no first-rounders. So I would look at Frank Ragnow, the center from Arkansas, a guy who has the size to play guard, very, very physical in the run game, really improved his stock this year. Would definitely keep an eye on him. Uchenna Nwosu, the edge rusher from USC, who he was a safety, turned linebacker, turned edge rusher, which I love. You got a guy who can play multiple spots, has a chance to be kind of a poor man's Hassan Reddick in this year's draft. I could see him being an early second round to mid second round type guy just because of all the different tools he brings to the table. Rashad Penny, a lot of Niner fans probably know about him from down at San Diego State. Incredibly productive this year. 220 pounds of speed. I mean, he can burn on kick returns. Was a very good scorer. Really stood out taking the reins from Donnell Pumphrey this year. Will Hernandez would be my next one, a guard from UTEP. I think the interior of the offensive line is an area the Niners have to address this year, whether that's with the $112 million in free agency and cap space or in the draft. So Will Hernandez, another physical, nasty guy. I think my biggest question for him, if you're watching him on Senior Bowl practice, does he have the mobility to play in his own scheme where he's going to have to be asked to move? That's a big, big question about him. And then safety Marcus Allen from Penn State. I think he's a versatile safety. And I do like the Niner safeties. I like Jaquaski Tart. I thought the Colbert played really well this year, being almost a complete unknown and coming on and playing well. But Marcus Allen, would be someone I feel like could maybe be an upgrade at that strong safety spot. So he's a guy I'm going to be keeping a close eye on.
I love it. Matt, that's money, dude. I don't have anything else for you. That's some serious knowledge. And again, we're just getting started, man. I'm looking forward to chatting with you throughout the next couple of months leading up to draft day.
Looking forward to it, man. Thanks.